Come on, put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Come on, you can do better than that. He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. Jesus, we worship You. We glorify You. We give You glory and praise, and we thank You for what You're going to do here today. Have Your way right here in Warner this morning, and do what only You can do. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Praise God. Are you happy tonight, this morning? Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here. Well, you can have your seat this morning. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. Thank you, Pastor Joseph, for hosting me and taking good care of me while Pastor Mark is out this morning. I am excited to be with you guys. As you can tell, I'm working on my best Australian accent today. Amen. I'm not from Australia. I'm from Orlando, Florida. Amen. With Mickey Mouse. Amen. And so it's great to be here with you guys today. It's a great honor, a great joy. This is my first time in Australia. So praise God. Amen. Amen. I already saw some kangaroos. Praise the Lord. You know, you gotta get the kangaroos checked off the box. And I even ate some of the, Vigorette? Is that the, what's the stuff you, Vegemite. I apologize. Vegemite. I had some for breakfast the other day. I spread it real thick on my toast like Nutella. Big mistake. Big mistake. Amen. Amen. I don't know that I'll be having any Vegemite anytime soon. Amen. I think I put it on a little too thick. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It is wonderful to be here, and I'm just excited to be with you guys this morning. I do want to send greeting to my beautiful wife, Amanda, who is at home watching online, and she's incredible. Come on, can we put our hands together for her? Sweetie, I love you so much. Thank you so much for all you do for me and for our ministry and everything. I love you so, so much. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, wonderful. We're going to have a wonderful time. I know Pastor Mark is out, but in case he watches this later, I do want to thank Pastor Mark and Nina. Thank you so much for having me. It is a joy and an honor to be here. And it's a great honor. How many of you love your pastors here? Praise the Lord. Praise God. You guys have an incredible leadership team here at Emerge Church, and I'm just incredibly thankful to know other people who love Jesus, who are passionate about souls, who are passionate about discipleship, who are passionate about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, I'm thankful that you guys aren't ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Five of you. Praise the Lord. Just kidding. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to have a wonderful time. I do want to make you aware of, on your way out, we do have a product table just actually in the back of the auditorium here. Make sure you stop by the product table. I, of course, was not able to bring my full product display that I always bring with all of our product, but I did bring about 35 copies of my brand new book, Activating Miracles. The subtitles, Enter Into Supernatural Faith Without Limits. And so how many of you know our God is a miracle-working God? Amen. He is a miracle-working God. He still does miracles today. Amen. And He not only does He do miracles, but He wants to do them through you. Amen. He wants to do them through you. Years ago, when I was first a brand new Christian and studying the Word of God, I came across this incredible verse that says, these miraculous signs, it's the implication, these miraculous signs will follow those who are theologically astute. Oh, you know that verse. What does it actually say? These signs will follow them that believe. Are there any believers in the house of God this morning? Amen. Then you qualify for the miraculous. These signs follow those that believe. And when I read that verse, it changed my life because I always imagined that the miracles and healing and prophetic gifting and all of those supernatural things that we see in the Bible, I always thought when I was a brand new Christian that they were like for the elite of Christianity, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus wants to use you, not because you're somebody special, but because he loves you and he loves people and he wants to reach people through you. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so we want to equip you with the tools to see the miraculous. So I've wrote this book and really to equip the body of Christ into the supernatural. I have seen more miracles than I could ever remember or count. And that's not to try to like toot my own horn. It's really because God is good and his word is true. Somebody say amen. And we have seen God do the miraculous, and we want to equip you to see God do the miraculous in your life. Every chapter has got testimonies, miraculous testimonies in here that will inspire you. A few years ago, one of the testimonies was we had I prayed for a man with Parkinson's disease. Actually was not in a church service. I was at a funeral, and unlikely place for a miracle. But how many of you know God likes to do things in unlikely places? Amen. And God touched him, and over the course of about 2 weeks, he got off all of his Parkinson's medication and realized he was completely symptom-free of all Parkinson's disease. He'd had it for 15 years. Come on. Our God is a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. And he's still set free, and it is incredible. We want to activate you into that as well. So make sure you go back, stop by the product table, pick up a book. I don't want to go home with any books. Amen. So make sure you stop by, pick one up. Who would like a book this morning? Wow, praise the Lord. A lot of hands. Amen. You can buy them at the product table after service. That was a good product table joke. Amen. Amen. Who would like one for free this morning? How about in the red? Sister right there in the red. Come on, jump up here. Yeah, come on, give her a God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say tonight. Tonight is going to be a night of the miraculous. I really believe we're going to see God do miracles here tonight. Salvation. How many of you know salvation is a miracle? It is the greatest miracle of all. Amen. That a person who is bound for hell could be redeemed and set free and filled with the Holy Spirit and become a new creation. Jesus said that anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new. So salvation is a miracle, and we want to see Jesus get people saved tonight. So if you know anyone that needs salvation, you know people that need a miracle, a touch from God, bring them here tonight and let's see what Jesus does. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm excited. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, be here tonight. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to be here tonight. All right, I got you now. You said it. You're going to be here tonight. Amen. Amen. Some of you are like, he tricked me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a wonderful time tonight in Jesus' mighty name. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Praise the Lord. How many of you are ready for the word of God this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 all the way down to verse number 9. I apologize in advance for reading so much of the Bible at church this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another joke. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Do you love the Word? Come on, I love Jesus' Word. Amen. I love the Word of God. The Bible says here, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses, my servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to them, as I said to Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, to the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Somebody say, I will be with you. He will be with me. Somebody say, amen. Be strong, verse 6, and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, somebody say then. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then, somebody say then, you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth with clarity and with power. Lord, I pray that you would touch each and every heart and life here this morning. And may we be used for you and for your kingdom. May our lives be spent living for you and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to talk to you on the topic of stepping into your destiny. Stepping into your destiny. Joshua stepped into his destiny along with the children of Israel. Now, a little backdrop in case you're new to the Bible and particularly the book of Joshua. Joshua here is the successor of Moses. And Moses and the children of Israel were stuck in the wilderness, walking around in the wilderness for 40 years. They actually had been given the land of Canaan, the promised land, by God years prior. And Moses, by the command of God, sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy it out, because God said, I'm giving you this land. Go send spies into the land, spy it out, check it out. And so he sent, I'm having trouble with my words this morning, amen. If I say something that doesn't make any sense, it's jet lag, praise the Lord. Amen. I think it was about 40-something hours to fly here on Thursday, amen. Praise the Lord. He sent 12 spies in to spy out the land, to check it out. Among those spies, all 12 of them came back with a report that said, yes, it is an exceedingly abundant land. It is an incredible land. It is a land that flows with milk and with honey. It is a very prosperous land. But 10 of those spies came back and said, but on the other hand, it is full of giants in that land. Their cities are fortified, and we're nobody. We're just a bunch of ex-slaves wandering around in the desert. We're not an army. We could never take this land. And Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies, came back and said, yes, but if God has given us this land, we can take the land. Aren't you thankful for Joshua and Caleb? Aren't you thankful for people in life who believe God, who believe His Word, who trust in the Lord Jesus and say, no matter what giants I face, I'm going to see the plan and purpose of God over my life. I've got good news for you this morning. There is a plan and a purpose of God over your life this morning, and I don't care what giant or what devil tries to come against you. God has a plan for you. He has a way for you, and in Jesus' name, you're going to step into your destiny. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? Anyone make New Year's? Do you guys do New Year's resolutions? Yeah, in Australia. Yeah, most of you didn't raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You're like, I'm not raising my hand because I made one. How many of you made one and you didn't fulfill it already? Amen. You're already backed out. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. How many of you are like, I'm not even making a New Year's resolution because I know I'm not going to keep it anyway. Praise the Lord. Praise. Yeah. Yeah. A lot more hands. A lot of hands went up. Praise God. I'm in that last camp with you. Actually, you know, my New Year's resolution this year was that I was going to start tomorrow. Amen. Amen. You know what the most common New Year's resolution is? It's to stop making unrealistic New Year's resolutions. Amen. You know, a lot of times we make these plans for our own lives. We make these plans. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to start reading the Bible more. I'm going to work out. I'm going to, you know, X, Y, Z. You fill in the blank. You make these plans for your life, but how many of you know God also has a plan for your life? His word says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So God has a plan for your life. But how do we begin to step into the plan and purpose that God has for you? Today, I want to talk to you about stepping into your destiny, stepping into the plan and purpose of God. And I want to give you just a few keys that we can find here from the book of Joshua. Of course, there's many other things. We could teach on this for a year if we wanted. But I want to give you a few keys that we see from the life of Joshua and what the Lord had said to Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1 so that you can begin to step into your destiny in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Number one, if you're going to step into what God has called, has for your life, you need to lay hold of it. Somebody say, lay hold of it. You need to lay hold of it. You know, you can't access something by sitting on the couch and doing nothing. Somebody say, amen. I don't know too many successful couch potatoes. Amen. And if we're going to do something great for the Lord, if you're going to do something with your life for Jesus, you're going to have to get up and do something. Somebody say amen. Look with me at verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Somebody say arise. Arise, the Lord says, go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel, every place. Somebody say every place. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon to the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, to the great sea going down to the sun, shall be your territory. So God was saying, arise. Get up off of the couch, amen. Get up off of your easy chair and go out and begin to possess what I'm giving to you. The Lord had commanded them, I want to give you this, but you and I have to do something. If we're going to lay hold of our destiny, we've got to begin to step out and lay hold of whatever it is that God has promised over your life. Maybe you've been prophesied over. Maybe God has spoken to you about your future, your destiny. Maybe you know, just you have an inner knowing that you are beginning to walk into your destiny, or maybe you haven't stepped yet into your destiny, but there's an inner knowing that you know what God has called you to do. Friends, we have to step into it. We have to begin to lay hold of it. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, one of my mentors and one of the greatest generals in the faith, once said, God always works with workers and he moves with movers, but he does not sit with sitters. Jesus will lift you up out of the deepest pit, but he will not lift you up out of your easy chair. Hallelujah. If you're doing nothing, God doesn't need to give you any help in doing nothing. Go out and do something impossible for Jesus, and then God will help you. Some people who forever seek the will of God are overrun by those who do the will of God. See, friends, if we're going to lay hold of our destiny, we've got to step out and do something impossible for Jesus. We've got to get up out of our easy chair. I remember I was a young Christian living in the state of Minnesota, where I'm from in the U.S., originally from Minnesota. I've been living in Florida for the last 15 years now. But when I grew up in Minnesota, I was probably voted least likely to succeed in my high school, okay? Least likely to succeed in my high school. I was from a very small town in central Minnesota, a town of 1,200 people. And there was 56 in my graduating class. And that's why I always say I graduated in the top 30 of my graduating class. Amen. Top 30, praise the Lord, of 56, amen. And my life just didn't seem like it was ever going to amount to very much. In fact, the town that I'm from, most people get stuck in that town, and they never really leave that town. And I just never really thought that I would do anything with my life. And I remember when I got radically saved in 2006, out of a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, and my life was a total disaster. I was telling Pastor Joseph on the way here, my life was messed up. And Jesus radically saved me. Right before I got saved, I tried to go into the law enforcement academy. I thought, I'm going to be a police officer, you know, try to get my life together. And while I was in the police academy, I found myself dealing drugs to other people in the police academy. And I thought, these two career paths aren't going to work out very well together. How many of you know that wasn't a very good idea? Amen. And so I decided, you know, I probably need to make a decision here. Am I going to continue to pursue my law enforcement career or my drug dealing career? And I made the unwise decision of dropping out of the police academy to pursue my drug dealing career. I had an entrepreneur ask me a few years ago, he's like, but were you successful in your drug dealing career? I said, no, because I smoked all of the proceeds. Life was a disaster. My life was so messed up. It was just constant chaos and destruction. How many of you know the Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy? But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. Somebody say amen. Jesus has a life for you. He has a destiny for you. He has a plan for you. And his plan is not a bummer. His plan is life and life more abundant. Say amen. Praise the Lord. And I remember when I got saved, I got this prophetic word over my life. And it was that, Chris, you're called into the ministry. You need to go into the ministry. And I thought, this guy has missed it. He missed it. You know, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for his prophetic gift, but he missed it on this one, because I could not be the person that God would use to do anything great. God would never use me. I'm just a nobody from central Minnesota. I do masonry. I work with my hands. I think I got a C in public speaking in high school. Amen. How many of you know God loves to use those that are unqualified? Amen. He has a way of using those that no one else would ever assume could be used by him. Why? Because then he gets all the glory. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. It's about his glory. And I remember going to Bible school at a school in Dallas, Texas called Christ for the Nations Institute. And I got to Bible school and I signed up for the street evangelism course and just to learn how to tell people about Jesus. And as I began to go out to the streets of Dallas, one by one, we started seeing people get saved one after another, and God started moving, and I became addicted to evangelism. Amen. I was telling people about Jesus everywhere. I would go to Walmart. I'd go to the grocery store. It didn't matter. Everywhere we went, we started seeing people get saved. How many of you know that this gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit is not supposed to be confined to Sunday morning between 10 and 12 o'clock inside of a church somewhere, but that this kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom, was meant to be used outside the four walls of the church? Somebody say amen. And man, we saw God do incredible things on the streets of Dallas. And I remember in those early days in Bible school, God began to speak to me that I was called to be an evangelist. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you've had that burning passion in your heart that man, maybe God would use me to reach people. I want to be the first to tell you this morning, if that passion is in there, it didn't come because of the devil. I believe God instilled that in your heart. He put that in your life. And whether you ever pick up a microphone or not, you can go out and evangelize all of Brisbane and all of Queensland and all of Australia in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God has put that passion in your heart. Don't miss it. Maybe that's your destiny. Start stepping into it. Whatever it is that God has called you to do. Maybe you're a business owner and God has called you to use your business for the kingdom of God. Friends, lay hold of it. Go after it. Believe God for great things. Maybe you're a school teacher and God has put that in your heart to be the best Christian representative in your school. Go for it. Step out. Get on the school board. Believe God for great things. Believe God to change your school board. Maybe you're called to be a politician. Friend, go out and be the most Jesus-loving politician that there ever was. Hallelujah. God has a plan for you, and I want to encourage you, lay hold of it, begin to step into it in Jesus' name. Number two, you need to know, if you're going to lay hold of what God has for you, if you're going to step into your destiny, you need to know that God is with you. Five of you, praise the Lord. He's with you. Say, he's with me. You can't have faith without knowing that God is with you. Joshua and Caleb were able to lay hold of the destiny that they had because they knew, first and foremost, if God be for us, who could be against us? If God is with us, I don't care how big the giants are. I don't care how fortified their cities are. We don't care. We are going to see the victory. Why? Because God is with us. God is with you, my friend. Jesus said it himself. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He is with you. And if he is with you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Somebody say amen. Verse number 5, the Bible says here, the Lord said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. And I will not forsake you. You see, my friends, the Joshua and Caleb came back with this attitude of saying, God can do it. And we're going to trust the Lord. And we didn't read it, but if you went back and began to read the passage of Moses sending out the 12 spies, when Joshua and Caleb came back, they were saying, yeah, we can do it. God is with us. And you know what they wanted to do to them? For believing in God, they wanted to stone them. How many of you know that when you step out and begin to believe God for big things in your life, there's going to be people that are going to want to spiritually stone you. They're going to want to cut you down. They're going to want to tell you you can't do it. Who do you think you are? You're nobody special. But I want to tell you, friend, you are special because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You have God living on the inside of you, and that makes you special, not because of you, but because of Him. Somebody say amen. And He wants to use you to do great things. I remember God spoke to me years ago when I started my evangelism ministry, and I don't have time to go into the full story, but I remember when I started our ministry, we knew that God had called us to do crusades in unreached nations. And so we started doing crusades in India and Sri Lanka, and we were going to these vast, remote places in the middle of nowhere, preaching the gospel and seeing thousands of people get saved. And one day my friend came to me, my friend Paul, and he was going to do his first crusade. He'd never done one before, and he said, "Would you please mentor me through the process of organizing a crusade in an unreached nation?" I said, "Absolutely." I said to him, "What nation are you going to go to?" He said, "Pakistan." I said, "You're crazy. Pakistan? Praise the Lord." He's like, "You want to go with me?" I'm like, "Absolutely not. Amen. I will mentor you. I'll help you. But I ain't going to Pakistan. Amen." And so we started mentoring, working through this process. And over the course of a couple of weeks, he was asking people to go with him because he didn't want to travel by himself. And he couldn't find anyone to go with him. And he came to me again and said, "Hey, I can't find anyone to go with me to Pakistan. Will you go with me?" I said, "No." A second time. Then he asked me a third time. I said, "No." A third time. Finally, on the fourth try of him asking me to go with him to Pakistan, I realized something. No is not being communicated into his brain. Like, he is not understanding that word no, like it's not registering. And I thought, I've got to change my answer. And so I knew in that moment the best answer to give him. I said, "I'll pray about it." Because I was convinced God would say no. "Chris, don't go to Pakistan. You're called to be in India. Don't go to Pakistan." And I would just blame it on the Lord. "Brother, I need to be honest and upright with the Lord. He said, no, don't go to Pakistan. Take it up with the Lord." Amen. And how many of you know God has a funny way of getting you to do things you don't want to do? As soon as I prayed about it, how many of you know it's not a bad idea to pray about something if you're going to make a decision? Amen. But you may be surprised by the answer. As soon as I prayed about it, I said, "Lord, you want me to go to Pakistan?" You know, expecting this. "Of course not, Chris." You know? You know what God said? It wasn't an audible voice, but it may have well been an audible voice. He said, "It was like this resounding go. It went through me and in me, and it was just like I knew God was just waiting for me to ask him the question, and God said, 'Go to Pakistan,' and I knew in that moment, I don't care if the Taliban are in Pakistan. I don't care if ISIS is in Pakistan. I don't care how difficult Pakistan might be. If God is for me, who can be against me? I am going to go to Pakistan, and we're going to see souls saved in Jesus' name." Amen. And so we went, and God did incredible things, and I'll share a little bit more with you. But I want to tell you today, if God has called you, know that He's with you. He's with you, and you can do all things through Christ. Number three, if you're going to step into the destiny of God, you're going to have some holy boldness. Hallelujah. You're going to have some holy boldness. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people that try to come against you. There's going to be people that say, "You can't do it. You'll never succeed." But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that if you will have a holy boldness and a resoluteness in your spirit that God has called you to do it, my friend, I believe you're going to see that destiny come to pass in your life in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Verse 6, Joshua, chapter 1, the Bible says here, the Lord says to them, be strong and of good courage. Why did he say be strong and of good courage? Because he knew that the road wasn't going to be easy. He knew that it wasn't going to be an easy road. But my friend, he spoke that because he knew that if you would lay hold of that boldness, if you would lay hold of be strong and of good courage, that you would see the victory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, there's so much more I could share, but I'll save it maybe for tonight. Amen. Now let me hit number 4. If you're going to lay hold of your destiny, you're going to have to stand on the Word of God. You're going to have to stand on God's holy Word. If you're going to lay hold of His promise for your life, you're going to have to stand on His Word. It doesn't matter what you go through, friend. I want to encourage you, grab a hold of a Bible and stand on His promise this year. Stand on His promises over your life in Jesus' name. We see here in verse number 8, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, somebody say then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. When will you be prosperous and successful? When you meditate on the Word of God. When you put your faith in the Word of God. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you spend time in His Word, when you spend time meditating and memorizing His Word, your faith will be strengthened in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, don't put your faith in your circumstance this year. Don't put your destiny, don't base your destiny on your circumstance, on your situation, on what other people might think about you, but put your faith solely in the Word of God in Jesus' name, and you'll find it's a firm foundation. Smith Wigglesworth, one of my favorite evangelists, used to say, I'm not moved by what I see or how I feel. I'm only moved by that which I believe, the Word of God. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word. I'm moved by what I believe. Praise God. Friends, if you'll stand on His Word, I want to tell you this morning, anything is possible. All things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. I remember we got to Pakistan that first trip, and we were ministering in different churches, and we did some pastors and leaders conferences and pouring into the local pastors, and we had the most incredible week. And then the time came to go to the big crusade, and we got to the crusade, and I'll never forget it. The in Pakistan, they like to separate. Men sit on one side and women sit on the other, or the women sit in the front, the men sit in the back. And the way the field was laid out for this crusade, they had a big aisle down the middle of the field, and men were on one side and the women were on the other side. And now whenever you do a crusade, especially in an unreached country like Pakistan, or tomorrow I'm flying to Papua New Guinea with Tim Hall, and we're doing a big crusade in Port Moresby. Somebody say amen. You know, so whenever you go and do a crusade like that in a difficult region, you want to make sure you've got a good getaway car. Amen. Amen. You want the getaway car close to the stage. Amen. Why? So you can get away. Amen. And I remember the way this field was laid out, we couldn't get the getaway car up to the stage. There was just no way of getting it there. And I remember we pulled up and we had to park the getaway car in the back of the crowd, and we had to walk through the crowd, down the aisle, through all of the people to get to the stage. And I remember thinking to myself, well, this is not ideal to have the getaway car behind the people. Amen. And so I began to be a bit nervous in that moment. And then I thought to myself, and how many of you have ever had it happen where you can think like five things like very thoroughly in a split second? You know what I'm talking about? That happened for me in this very moment. I had all these thoughts like boom, 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 rush through my mind. And the next thought was, well, this isn't ideal, but I'm sure glad we hired some security guards in Pakistan. Amen. And then I looked at the security guards and I realized we didn't have very much money, so we hired the cheapest security team we could hire in Pakistan, and these guys don't even have uniforms. And I thought, well, that's not ideal, because how do I know who's the security guard or not? And then I realized they're all carrying AK-47s, and I thought, okay, now I know who my security guards are. And then the next thought was, wait a minute, anyone could be carrying an AK-47. And I don't know if they're security or not. And then the next thought was, we didn't pay these guys a whole lot of money. Surely the Taliban has more money than we do. They could have paid these guys off to come take us out. And by the way, there's no Christian security companies in Pakistan, so all these guys are most likely Muslims, praise the Lord. And fear started coming over me. And it was like a crippling fear. And I remember we began to walk up that aisle to try to get to the stage. And as we were walking up the aisle, I looked at the stage. And the stage, yeah, the band can come back. The stage was built right up against a brick wall of a building. And the brick building had a flat roof on it. And as we're walking toward the building, I looked up on top of the building, and I saw a man up there that looked just like Osama bin Laden. I'm not kidding. Not just like turban on his head, big beard, dressed in the same outfit that Osama bin Laden would have wore. He's got a gun lifted up in the air, and he's dancing, and I'm walking toward him, and I thought, oh, Lord, I'm going to die. I'm going to die here today. Fear struck me in that moment. I've never experienced fear in my whole life like this. I lean over. My friend Paul says, hey, Chris, you see that guy up on the roof? I said, yeah, bro. He goes, this might be how we go down, bro. I thought, Paul, you're not helping me. My feet felt like they were 1,000 pounds each. I could barely walk up that aisle. Maybe you've experienced fear like this. It was almost paralyzing. And in that moment of some of the greatest fear I'd ever felt in my life, all of a sudden, the Word of God began to bubble up in my spirit. The Word that I had memorized, the Word that I had meditated on, the Word that I'd put for years into my soul began to bubble up, and I said, I shall live and not die, and I will declare the work of the Lord. I said, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I said, no weapon formed against me will prosper or succeed, though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near me in Jesus' mighty name. And in that moment, all the fear broke off of me. And I could tell you honestly before God, I've never felt fear ever again like that in Pakistan or anywhere else. I just got back from Pakistan in March, my 28th trip to Pakistan. Hallelujah. We've been to the border of Afghanistan. We've preached to the Taliban. We've seen over 2.4 million people receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Come on, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, none of that could have been possible unless we stepped out in faith, believing what the Lord had promised over our lives. What is it that God has spoken over your life? What has He spoken to you? What has He put in your heart? Friend, I want to encourage you today, stand on it. Step out in faith. You say, what if people don't agree with me? Who cares what people think about you? Jesus thinks great things about you, and His opinion is the only one that matters. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Has this been helpful this morning? I want to pray over everyone this morning that God would begin to release you into your destiny. If you don't know what your destiny is, that he would even speak to you this morning or this week. Maybe a dream, maybe a vision, maybe a prophetic word. I remember I was crying out to God saying, oh God, my early days in Bible school, oh God, if you called me to be an evangelist, I'd do it, but just show me. Just show me. And literally 15 minutes after praying, I got a message online from a friend of mine. He said, Chris, I had a dream about you last night. I said, what was the dream? He said, you were preaching the gospel to a crowd as far as the eye could see. And I knew that's my destiny. I'm going to pray that God releases destiny over you and that you would step out and you would lay hold of it, that you'd have the faith and boldness and courage to do it, and that you would see God's hand in your life. But more importantly, before we do that, real quick, you can't lay hold of your destiny if you've never surrendered to the one who gives destiny in the first place. His name is Jesus. I love what Joshua said in the later part of the book of Joshua in chapter 24, verse 14. At the end of his life, Joshua famously challenged the Israelites, saying, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Today, maybe you come here, maybe somebody invited you, a friend, a family member. You're not used to going to church. You're not really a church goer. Maybe you'd never given your life to Jesus ever before. I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ loves you with an everlasting love. He came to this earth for one reason and one reason only, to die for your sins, to be raised from the dead, to save you, to set you free. You might say, Chris, I'm a nobody. I've done so much wrong. How could God ever save me? My friend, the reality is, if you were the only person to ever live, Jesus would have died just for you, because he loves you that much. He loves you. He died to save you. And if you will turn to Jesus today and say, Lord Jesus, if you could save that crazy evangelist, that crazy drug dealing evangelist, maybe you can save me also. Today, my friend, if you'll turn to Jesus, he'll save you today. He'll set you free. He'll wash away every sin. He'll forgive you. And he'll make you a new creation in Christ. Maybe you come here today and you're in a second category. And that second category is this. Maybe you've fallen away from the Lord. Maybe you grew up going to church and reading the Bible and being a good Christian. And along the way, life happened. Things happened. Sin came into your life, crept in. Problems happen, pain and challenges, and you found yourself beginning to drift away from the things of the Lord, or maybe you just began to kind of dabble in the things of sin, and you found yourself away from God, kind of backslidden away from the Lord. I want to tell you today, friends, turn back to Jesus. Recommit your life to Christ today. Let him come in and set you free and clean you up and put you on a new course. But today you've got to turn back to Jesus. Recommit your life to him. Maybe you're in a third category and you just say, Chris, I just don't know if I died today, if I'd go to heaven. I'm just not sure. Well, friends, today you can be sure. You can go away knowing today that you're saved, that you're forgiven, that you're right with God, and that you're on your way to heaven. So today, I'm going to give you that opportunity as well to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, that's me. I want to ask everyone to just bow your heads and close your eyes. We're just going to go to the Lord. We're almost done. But this is the most important part of the service. It's a very holy moment. It's a moment between you and the Lord. And I want to ask you today to be honest with yourself. If you fall into that first category, you've never given your life to Jesus before, but you want to. In just a moment, not now, but in just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and when I count to three, if that's you, you've never given your life to Christ, but you'd like to for the first time today. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand to heaven so that I can pray for you to know that today you're saved, you're forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven. If you're on that second category and you prayed that prayer a long time ago, but you've kind of backslid and you've kind of gone away, you've allowed sin to creep into your life, and you know God is dealing with your heart today, and he's saying, my son, my daughter, turn away from that. Recommit today your life to me. If you fall into that category, when I count to three in just a moment, I want you also to lift your hand to heaven so that I can pray for you. And if you fall into that third category, you're just not sure if you died today, if you'd go to heaven, but you want to. You want to make sure you're right with God. If you're in that category, when I count to three in just a moment, I want you also to lift your hand to heaven so that I can pray for you to know today that you're saved, you're forgiven, and you're on your way to heaven with every head bowed and every eye closed today. If you fall into any one of those three categories, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand to heaven so that I can pray for you. One, two, three. Lift your hand to heaven. If that's you, that's you. Yep, hands going up all over from the front to back, side to side. Anyone else, you're saying, Chris, that's me. That's me. God's dealing with my heart right now. I know he's calling me to make that decision. If you haven't lifted your hand up, but you know that's you, you know God is calling you, lift it up now. Just go ahead. Slip it up right now. I see that hand, that hand. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? You know God's dealing with you. Just go ahead and lift it up. Lift it to heaven. And we'll pray for you, knowing today that you're forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three one more time. This time when I count to three, I want to ask everyone who lifted their hand to heaven to come forward to the front so that I can pray for you today to be forgiven. One, two, three. If that was you, you raise your hand. Come on, get out of your seat. Come down here to the front. Come on, let's put our hands together for those that are coming forward. God bless you. God bless you guys. God bless you. Just stand right here. God bless you guys. God bless you. Yeah, come on, keep coming. Keep coming. Just stand right here. Praise the Lord. We'll wait for everyone. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look, I know that there was a lot more people that you haven't made your way up here. You say, Chris, how do you know that? Prophetically? No, because I saw your hand and you're still not up here. Amen. But it happens all the time, because sometimes it's hard. You got like people next to you and it's like, how do I get out of the aisle? I'll just stay back here. I want to encourage you to come forward. Here's what I'm going to do in just a moment when I tell you, not now, but when I tell you, I don't care who it is on your left and right, your mom, dad, sister, brother, or a pastor. I want you, when I tell you, to turn to the person on your left and right and ask them, hey, do you need to be up there? And if they do, grab them and drag them up here. Okay, go ahead. Turn to your left and right. Left. Hey, do you need to be up there? Do you need to be up there? Do you need to be up there? Come on, just grab them. Bring them up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on Jesus, he'll save you. That's his promise, not mine. The Bible goes on to say that if we will confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart he is risen from the dead, we will be saved. So that's a promise from God. It's not from Pastor Mark, it's not from Chris, not from Pastor Joseph. God's promise to you, if you call on him and you say, Jesus, I believe in you, I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead, his promise is, I will save you, I'll forgive you. And so I'm going to lead you in a moment of just calling on Jesus to save you. Can we do that? And you're just going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in the prayer. The prayer is not what saves you. It's you praying and believing this with all of your heart. Amen? And so I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to mean it. Believe it with all of your heart. And here's what I want to do. This isn't a time to whisper a prayer, okay? I want you to pray boldly today. Because what you're doing is you're telling the devil, devil, I'm done with you. I'm coming over to the winning team. I'm coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm coming over to the winning side. And you're telling Jesus and all of heaven, Lord, I commit my life to you. So don't whisper this prayer. Pray it boldly. Here's what I want you to do. Just lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes. I want everyone in the back, stretch your hands toward those that have come forward here. And I want everyone here to pray this prayer in support of those that have come forward. Just pray this out loud with boldness. Say this. Say, Father, today I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe you died for me. I believe Jesus died and he rose from the dead. And I believe he is saving me now. Forgive me. Wash me with your precious blood. Wash all my sin away. I turn to you, Lord Jesus. I turn away from my sin. I turn to you, Lord Jesus. And I ask you, save me now. Forgive me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me a child of God. And I promise from this day forward to follow you for the rest of my life. I believe it. I receive it. And I confess it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Stay right here. Listen, I want to congratulate you. This is the most important decision you've ever made because it's an eternal decision. It's a decision that can last for all of eternity. It's a decision of salvation. In fact, today, Sunday, June 15th, is your new birthday. Praise the Lord. Now, don't worry. Praise God. Some of you are thinking, do I get extra presents this year? Amen. Maybe. But don't worry. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. You can still celebrate your old birthday. Amen. I want to encourage you today. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. According to the Word of God, Jesus said, you have to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? It's by doing this right here, by confessing in Jesus and asking him to save you. And what's happened is the Holy Spirit has come into you, and he's going to begin to lead you and guide you in your whole life. It's going to be incredible. I want to congratulate you and welcome you into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.